here. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farrows. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, have you had problems finding supplies for your new hobby or a sudden interest in outdoor activities? We'll talk to a supply chain expert about the ways that companies handle extra demand for their stuff during the pandemic. First, Keely Boltina joins us now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for great discussions, and it is your gift of any amount that makes these conversations possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is such a big deal.
Yeah, Rob, last hour we heard from 30 donors. That is incredible. Thank you so much to everyone who gave. Our goal this hour is to get 15 gifts.
Help pay for the programs that you rely on each and every day when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You are powerful because people who listen, you provide the most significant share of funding for WPR programs. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in the programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for the entire community. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
It's $10 Tuesday. You can support the programs you love in style with the new WPR t-shirt that comes with your gift of $10 a month or more. It's comfy. It's a heather gray t-shirt, and it features Wisconsin state symbols in the night sky. It's really neat. Ask for yours at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. This special offer is only available today. Tomorrow, it goes up to $12 a month.
Every member drive, listeners from all over the country, even around the world, reach out to support WPR. People from Texas, Alaska, Japan, and Germany tell us they've found something special here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
Your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes WPR what it is, a resource that you enjoy and one that people treasure around the state, around the country, and I mean around the world.
Supporting WPR right now is a great thing to do on this first day of our member drive with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Super simple. Your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for 15 people to support WPR programs over the course of this hour. That will meet our goal. WPR is listener powered, and that's why your gift is so important right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I mean, I have to talk about the t-shirt again,
yeah.
Rob. It's this really great 2021 WPR t-shirt. It's made in America. It's printed right here in Wisconsin. And today, it's a deal. Give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And you can ask for your t-shirt. This special offer is available at that $10 a month donation today. Tomorrow, it goes up to $12 a month.
If you are a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you for that. You can make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Rob, we've got a couple of listener comments here. These are always really fun. Joan in Waukesha says, I love to listen to Central Time each afternoon. Thank you for a great and informative local program. So kudos to the Central Time team. And Joan, thank you for that response. And then Jim in Viroqua says, I need WPR as much as I need the air to breathe. Rob.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's great to hear. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Joan, so much for giving. Well, how about you? Do you count on Wisconsin Public Radio, on the Ideas Network, maybe on Central Time, day after day, to keep you informed and entertained and connected with the world? Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on the Ideas Network for great discussions. Your gift in any amount really makes a big difference. Help pay for the programs you rely on every day when you give. Just go to WPR.org or pick up the phone. Call 888-202-2552 and thank you.
It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, the longer we're in the pandemic, the more shortages and unpredictable surges in demand companies and consumers seem to experience. From outdoor equipment like bikes, skis, and snowshoes to hobby-centric goods like sewing machines or gardening supplies, a lot of people are on the same wavelength when it comes to what we're buying right now. And let's not forget about toilet paper, hand sanitizer, flour, and other basics from the early days of the pandemic. How can businesses keep up with the demand that they can't predict? Our next guest gives us some perspective on what's happening and what is driving some of the shortages, past, present, and future. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you run into this over the last year? Something you've wanted but have been unable to get your hands on? Are you still maybe waiting on an item that's been back ordered? If you have a business or you work in somewhere in a supply chain, maybe in trucking, what has your experience been like? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Greg DeCroy is the Granger Professor of Supply Chain Management in the Wisconsin School of Business, also serves as the Academic Director for the Granger Center of Supply Chain Management. Greg, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, when this all started, we had the toilet paper, the face masks, of course, the hand sanitizers. Can you talk about just the crunch that these, I guess, unsurprising items ended up in and how we caught up with them?
Yeah, it's it really was a crunch. That's a good word for it. You know, supply chains are, their goal is to very simply match supply with demand. And it sounds like a simple proposition, but it's actually quite complex. To get the right items in the right quantities to the right place at the right time is, it's a real testament to the supply chain professionals out there that most of the time we don't even notice supply chains. They just get the job done. But what hit in, the early part of last year was kind of a perfect storm. Companies are decent at, supply chains work best when there's a certain amount of, I don't want to say predictability because the world is constantly changing and coming up with surprises, but it happens within certain ranges of typical, swings and variability and unpredictability. When COVID hit, you had huge impacts on supply bases, starting in East Asia, China and other countries, and then Europe and the US, Latin America. So it wasn't just one component or one ingredient. It wasn't just one location. It wasn't just one level within your supply chain. It was everywhere. And at the same time, you had these kind of easy to explain in retrospect, but hard to anticipate demand shocks, where demand for one thing would spike high and then demand for something else would just go in the tank. And supply chains really, they're not designed to handle that degree of shock to the system, all happening essentially at the same time.
Well, the toilet paper story, if I can go back to that, seemed interesting. At first, I think we all thought it was, we're just kind of going wacky, making sure we don't run out. There's a run at stores. That was part of the story. But I read some analysis that said, well, hold on. Also, people are at home way more. They're not at institutional places like hotels, their workplace that might use different forms of toilet paper that fit on different dispensers. And you can't just flip a switch to produce industrial toilet paper or commercial to that residential stuff. There's a lot of complicating factors like that.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that's been really interesting to watch in all of this is how the granularity, the detail matters and how one thing impacts another. Like you said, there are two different types of toilet paper on two different size rolls in many cases. And overall demand for toilet paper is one of the more stable things that we have out there in the marketplace. It's fairly constant and quite predictable. And so the supply chains for delivering products to those to meet that demand, those are designed to be very efficient. This is not a high margin product. We're trying to essentially get things to market as efficiently as possible. And so there's not a lot of excess capacity built into that system. If there is, you can't afford to keep that excess capacity. You're running these big pieces of equipment pretty much full out. And so when one side of the market drops and the other side takes off, you have this inability, like you just said, to pivot quickly. This type of machine doesn't work to make that type of toilet paper. And the time it takes sometimes to install equipment to add production lines and so on, sometimes as many months. And then a company looks at that and says, well, how long is this thing going to last? Is it worth me opening a whole new plant to produce something so that just when I open that plant, we don't need that much anymore?
And then we could insert, fill in the blank with a bunch of different products. Exactly. Everybody got into mountain biking or this or that. Jigsaw puzzles. We did an interview with a guy who ran a jigsaw puzzle company, and they were slammed. They were all sold out. But there's that same question. If I'm in that position, if I expand my production capacity, I know this demand for jigsaw puzzles isn't going to last forever.
Exactly. And that's, you know, people, you know, when this first hit, a lot of people were saying, well, how come we weren't better prepared for this, particularly on the side of some of the medical equipment, the personal protective equipment. And I do think that a lot of things could have been done better to prepare and be ready for this. But at the same time, the last time that the world dealt with something on this scale was 1918 to 1920. And if you just decided you were going to build a bunch of excess capacity and have a whole bunch of inventory sitting around waiting for the next pandemic, you know, you would not have lasted 100 years. Your company would have gone out of business because you couldn't afford to carry all of that for that whole period of time. And so that's what companies are also facing going forward, is this, if I build it, you know, when is this demand going to evaporate, and is it going to evaporate?
Sorry to interrupt. We're talking to Greg DeCroix, Granger Professor of Supply Chain Management in the Wisconsin School of Business. We're talking about how the pandemic affected supply of a lot of stuff and demand when we all want the same thing at the same time. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What did you have the hardest time getting a hold of at some point in the last year? Is there something you are waiting eagerly for that delivery on this year? You try to order, for example, seeds for your garden if it ever thaws. 800-642-1234. Or if you're on the other side of things, owning a business, producing stuff, distributing stuff, what have you seen? 800-642-1234 is the number, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about what drives shortages in products during the pandemic with supply chain management expert Greg DeCroix, the Granger Professor of Supply Chain Management at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Was there something you were eager to get at some point during the pandemic and had trouble finding it? Is there something maybe right now? And if you work in the business of selling things to people or getting things to stores or hospitals or you name it, what challenges have you faced? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. I've been focusing my questions on the demand side of things. Greg, you touched briefly on how the pandemic disrupted, you know, factories and shipping and things like that. What kind of impact did it have when, you know, our workers might be sick, not able to produce the stuff we're trying to sell?
Exactly. And we probably saw that in the headlines the most in the food industry and meatpacking plants. When there was an outbreak at a plant, you know, these facilities have workers working close together. And if there was an outbreak, they had to either shut down the plant or distance or dramatically shut down or reduce the production, the pace of production in those facilities. And that's another kind of supply demand and kind of whiplash, that farmers had crops and animals that they were wanting to bring to market, but they couldn't because of these plants being limited. And on the other side, there were certain things in stores that people were having trouble getting because, again, put some bottlenecks in the system. So it can kind of cut both ways within the supply chain. And what we see some of the companies doing is being creative. Again, a lot of times it's hard to bring a lot of extra capacity online. They tended to do maybe smaller things that had cumulatively at least a reasonable impact. A lot of times people would find less variety in the cuts of meats that they could find. Or I've seen articles predicting that we're going to find less variety, say, in cans of different flavors of soup that we're going to see even moving forward. Because if you're running a production line, it takes time sometimes to shift from one type of product to another. And that's just lost time to the system. If you can do fewer changeovers, run more, you know, longer batches of fewer items, maybe the highest selling varieties that you might want to sell, you can save some time and get excess capacity, some additional capacity squeezed out of the system.
Let's bring on a caller now. Whitney is with us in Escanaba, Michigan. Whitney, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Whitney?
I just wanted to provide sort of a situation. I'm the production manager at Upper Hand Brewery here in Escanaba. And when the pandemic hit, we experienced both a tremendous surge in the sale of our canned beer while simultaneously experiencing zero sales in our kegged beer because all of the bars were closed. So it was that interesting situation of trying to switch gears from both extremes that was a really interesting experience.
How long did it take to catch up, Whitney?
We fortunately were able to pivot pretty quickly. There's a shortage of aluminum cans, which has been a huge issue for a lot of breweries. But we're owned by a Bell's Brewery down in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So fortunately, we had some pull in the industry and were able to secure the cans that we needed. But a lot of breweries were not so fortunate. So we were able to react pretty quickly because we're smaller, on the smaller side of brewery size with sort of tremendous resources of a very large brewery. So we were very lucky.
Whitney, thanks so much. I want to bring Greg in on this. There's a lot of our story right there, Greg. Where do you want to run with that?
No, absolutely. And one of the things I sort of alluded to before, the interrelationships here are what I think were hard for a lot of companies to anticipate. And I think it's one of the things they really need to think about going forward as we come out of this. So you've got, but now suddenly there's a run on aluminum cans, and now you can't get a hold of aluminum cans. And what's that doing to the can industry? More recently, I was reading about the auto industry cut back very significantly back in, you know, spring and summer of last year. And, you know, cars have a lot of chips and processors and things in them. So the chip and processor industry said, oh, here, there goes a big source of demand for us. We're going to shift some of our output towards things like home electronics, because people want better electronics, they're needing better Wi-Fi at home, and so on. Now demand coming back for the auto industry, guess what? Their supply of chips and processors, they're having a harder time getting a hold of those, and so they're cutting back or shutting down some plants while they're waiting for that supply to catch up. You mentioned bikes. You know, there's this shift from spending money on services like gyms and restaurants and bars more towards products. So you can't go to the gym. You might not feel comfortable in mass transportation because of the crowds. You buy a bike. We don't spend as much on our services, so we're sitting at home. We want to buy kitchen appliances or other things. We want to buy things that get imported from China and other places. You know, the ports then start getting backed up because we're importing more in terms of goods rather than spending that money on services. It's all so interconnected that it's really hard to anticipate. It's a little bit like a game of whack-a-mole. Where is the next surge going to come from?
We've got another caller on the line. Don't have time, but said it took 3 months to get a trampoline after the pandemic hit. Another good example. Thanks to Matthew from Pleasant Prairie for sharing that. Greg, what are you watching for in our last few moments as the next thing that could face a bottleneck?
You know, I'm going to knock on wood here. I don't expect any really major bottlenecks to crop up that we haven't seen at least some glimpse of so far. I'm hoping that with vaccinations and other things causing some downturn in the cases that we'll get through and be on a downward slope here. What will be interesting is for companies to come out of this. How much are we going to still be buying groceries from to be delivered to our houses instead of going to the store? What's going to be the impact on the cardboard box industry if we stop buying as much online as we do currently and we go back to stores? Those are the things that companies have to think about. In reverse, what is now the impact going to be when people snap back to their old habits, and to what extent will they snap back?
Greg, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Greg DeCroix is an expert on supply chain management and sustainability and environmental issues in business. He's an associate professor of business operations and information management at UW-Madison. He joined us for a look at supply chain problems when we all want the same thing during the pandemic and when production can be disrupted by the same pandemic. Coming up, we'll answer a Why Wisconsin audience question about curling in Wisconsin and find out how some clubs have been taking the sport outdoors this season. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Keely Baltina is with us, and we are here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
Listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs you count on. That is why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Just about halfway through the hour. We need 10 more gifts now to hit our goal. Thank you so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
In that last conversation, we got some of the backstory on something that all of us have probably experienced at some point during the pandemic. We want to obtain a thing, and the thing is not there to be had. We got the story from an expert looking at why those surges in demand can happen, how the pandemic disrupted supply, and how companies snap back and start to catch up with things. These are the kinds of informative conversations, the answers to your questions you might have that you can count on from Central Time.
Yeah, and Central Time, just like WPR, is listener-supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes these varied and many topics that you tune in for every day possible. So do it now. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
You might have a monthly subscription for your cell phone, maybe your Netflix or one of the other 500 streaming services out there. Now we're asking you to support WPR like you pay for these other services that you rely on.
True, but there's a difference here, and that is that you decide how much to give. Support the programs that are part of your day. Become a WPR sustainer. Choose a monthly gift amount that works for you, then set up ongoing installments at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, it makes driving, working, cooking a different experience, a much better experience.
I agree. Your support makes WPR possible, and it turns ordinary activities into extraordinary ones. Your life is better with WPR in it. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Half hour left to reach our goal, looking for 10 more people to join in. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And Keely, how about those T-shirts?
We have to talk about the T-shirt again, because you can support the programs you value and get a T-shirt. Ask for your WPR T-shirt with a gift of $10 or more a month today. Do that at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. This special offer is only available today. Tomorrow, it goes up to $12 a month, so you got to act now.
That's right. Make your gift right now. $10 a month or more today only. Ask for the brand new Wisconsin Public Radio T-shirt. T-shirt weather, believe it or not, is just around the corner, a month or two or three off. And you'll be able to display your pride in listening to Wisconsin Public Radio and supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Give right now whatever amount works for you. You can support great conversations each and every day at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. In several spots around the state this season, curlers took their sport outdoors to maintain their skills and their community. We'll hear from a few of them about how it went competing on natural outdoor ice. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Keely Boltina joins me now. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for Central Time and all the programs you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. In fact, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. This drive is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are halfway through the hour, and we're about halfway to our goal, too. We need 7 more people to join in, and that will help us meet our goal. We're on pace, but we need you. These hourly goals are set up to make sure that we have the funding for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation now. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
As an Ideas Network listener, you're smart. You want to know what's going on both in the news and in the culture around us. And we're right there with you exploring all the things here on Central Time.
And we're grateful for your support. It makes all of the stories that you hear on the show possible. Give now. It makes a big difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You can turn on your radio or other audiotronic device every day without an upfront charge and enjoy hours and hours of news and conversation here on the Ideas Network. WPR is available to everyone because listeners like you help cover the cost.
Join in today. Become a member with your first ever gift of $10 or $20 a month. Do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive support the programs you love in style with the new WPR t-shirt. The super comfy heather gray t-shirt features Wisconsin state symbols in the night sky.
The WPR t-shirt looks like you could find it at a boutique store. It looks really cool. I like how it has all the different animals. It feels very connected to nature.
It's got a deer and a bird and a badger all on a nice gray t-shirt, and it looks kind of like constellations in the night sky.
A dark gray t-shirt with light purple Wisconsin state symbols on there that also have these constellations looks super comfy.
The new WPR t-shirt is only available for $10 a month today, $10 Tuesday. So ask for yours when you give now. Here's how.
Get that t-shirt at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Rob Ferret here with Keely Boltina. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether your contribution is $10 a month or $100 a month, we really do appreciate and count on your gift.
Now is the time. Give right now while you're thinking about it. It takes just a few minutes to contribute.
You'll have that great feeling of supporting the programs that you love. See what it's like right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You have made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now is the time to make a habit of donating. It's a good habit, one of those habits that you can actually be proud of, that you can tell other people about and talk about freely. Get started right now. Help out with your donation of any amount. Do that at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
When seven more people support Wisconsin Public Radio programs in the next 20 minutes or so, we will meet our goal. WPR is listener supported. That is why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And that 2021 WPR t-shirt is available. Here's some more information about it. Made in the USA, printed right here in Wisconsin. Give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and ask for your t-shirt. This special offer is only available today. Tomorrow, it goes up to $12 a month.
If you are a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose, you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Michelle in Ashland says, I have to do driving some days for my job, and I enjoy listening to WPR in the mornings and when I'm headed home. Good information and reliable, objective news. Michelle, thanks for that, and thanks for helping us understand how WPR kind of bookends your day. And also Kenneth in Middleton says, I enjoy and learn when listening to WPR.
Join Michelle and join Kenneth with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We can't do what we do without you, without your support. Make your very important gift right now. Online, takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or make a quick phone call, 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We got a question the other day from an audience member, Peter Caldwell from Columbia County. He asked, I moved here from New Jersey. Curling is a really big deal in Wisconsin. Really big, bigger than anywhere, especially Columbia County. Why? Now, the pandemic forced a lot of Wisconsin's clubs to cancel their seasons this winter, but that didn't keep all the state's curlers from enjoying their sport. We're going to check in with folks from around the state who are still able to safely hold Bonspiels despite coronavirus restrictions. First up is Matt Aro, a member of the Madison and Arlington Curling Clubs. Matt, welcome to Central Time.
Glad to be here.
Well, the Madison Club scrapped its season. It's an indoor thing, maybe hard to pull off. But you said, okay, we're going to figure out a way to still curl this year. What did you do?
So we created an outdoor ice rink in Monona, in a park there, with support of the city of Monona.
And you're doing this outside, which is old school. This is how the game started originally. What is it like, though, to have to rely a little bit on nature to create the surface of the ice versus that what I imagine is much better control indoors?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The ice on the outdoors for curling is a lot slower than what you would get in a controlled facility. And you are just kind of at the mercy of Mother Nature. So we've actually had a really fortunate string of weather the last 2 weeks aside with the cold. But it's too cold to curl, then you know it's cold. But we've actually done pretty well with it. If it gets too hot, the ice is too soft, and it's really slippery and dangerous at that point. So you have to, or if it gets too warm, then you just have to call it off. And snow affects the ice. It slows it down substantially. Again, makes it real slippery. So we just have to deal with it. It's what our ancestors had to do for the first curling games.
Exactly. Now, I know the sport is important to you, but I know for curlers, a part of the story is the community. How important was that to you to keep that community up this winter during this pandemic?
Yeah. Curling is a great sport. It's got a lot of strategy, a lot of competition in it. But I think one important aspect of it is the social aspect. And a lot of people who are drawn to curling are drawn to it, not just for the sport, but for the people and the friendships and the discussions that happen after the game. The broom stacking, we call it, which is often sitting around a table over a beverage and talking about the game and life and sharing stories.
All right. We got getting close to 20 up to 30 something by Sunday. Are you back out for the weekend?
We are. This might be our last weekend on the ice. Looks like it's going to warm up after that. This may be the last hurrah. But we've had a good string. We had a good Bonspiel about 3 weeks ago and had really good participation for that. And everybody had a really great time.
Matt, thanks a lot for joining us.
You bet.
That's Matt Arl, member of the Madison and Arlington Curling Clubs. Okay, from Madison, let's zoom up 51. We've got Chuck Miller, a member of the Wausau Curling Club, with us now. Chuck, thanks a lot for joining us.
Happy to join you, Rob.
Now, outdoor curling, I am told, is not a new thing for you. You and your family have done outdoor Bonspiels for a decade now in front of your house?
That's about right, yep.
Now, what have you learned over the years? Some of these people are trying it for the first time. What lessons have you taken from years past and honed your outdoor game?
Well, like Matt has said, you're at the mercy of the weather. We've had Bonspiels at 2 below 0 and 20 mile an hour winds. And when it gets to be about 37 degrees, the stone doesn't travel down the ice as keenly as it does when it's, 22 or 23 degrees.
Yeah. Does that change the form when you know the stone's going to go a lot slower?
There's the delivery is much different than in a controlled club. Much shorter slide out. A lot of times people just push up from the hack and release the stone in one quick motion, and quite harder than what you probably would inside a club. I traditionally shorten the sheet outside because of that. If we had the 150 feet that we use indoors, nobody would get the stone to the other end.
Now, why is curling such a big deal in your part of the state?
We're very blessed in central Wisconsin. We've got a lot of curling around here. Wausau built a new club that opened in 2012. Stevens Point just opened a beautiful club this year, Four Sheets, and we're just blessed to have great curling. We're in a great part of the state. Now, Columbia County does have five clubs in their own state, but we try to push for the epicenter or the heartbeat of the curling up here a little farther north.
We'll visit Columbia County in just a couple minutes. But for you personally, what is it you love about the sport of curling?
Oh, I got to just restate what Matt said. It's the social aspect. The game is super competitive. When you get on the ice, nobody wants to win more than anybody or in any other sport. But you kind of drop that all when you walk off the ice. You try not to hold any grudges. You sit down with the other team, like you said, a beverage and a meal and social. Sometimes you're social for just about as long as you rode on the ice.
Well, Chuck, thanks a lot for sharing it with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy to do it.
That's Chuck Miller with the Wausau Curling Club. And now let's go to the epicenter of our question, our Wisconsin question today. Sunny Vilwalk joins us, a member of the Partyville Curling Club in Columbia County. Sunny, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we just heard a little claim to the curling game in Wausau there, but our question asker made a bold claim that Columbia County has curling bigger than anywhere else. What do you think?
We've been doing it longer, so it's easier to have a bigger, but because we've been doing it for Portage is 1850s. Our club is from 1875. Poinette's from 1875. To keep that in perspective, Custer's last end was in July of 1876. So we've been doing this for a long, long, long time. So we worked out a lot of the bugs, and people just like getting together and having fun.
Now, what is it? What do you know about the history there? Why this part of the state, Columbia County, was such a big place for curling as way back in the 19th century?
I think we formed ice, solid ice, really early, and it gave people something to do in the wintertime. So it became very popular and grew and grew. There used to be 7 or 8 different clubs in Columbia County, and we're down to 5 now.
And you recently held an outdoor Bonspiel in Partyville. How'd it go?
Oh, it was beautiful. We had 14 Bonspiel teams, and we had 7 or 8 new teams that had never done it before, just trying it out. And then we also played outdoor golf with tennis balls and golf clubs. We set up a course. So it was generally a great time for the community. It brought a lot of people out to get away from the COVID and give them a safe environment to be in.
I keep saying the word Bonspiel. We got Spiel, that's German for game, I believe. Bon is French for good. I don't know. What is a Bonspiel?
Well, a Bonspiel is a get-together. Somebody once told me that a curling Bonspiel, curling actually ruins a good Bonspiel by taking away the fun of it. Bonspiel must be the social aspect of it, and it gives a good competition. There's a lot of good clubs. We've played up in Wausau, Madison, around the state. People travel pretty well for Bonspiels, and it becomes a pretty enjoyable time.
I know it's been a little cold to do much of anything outside. Do you have any more outdoor events planned yet this winter?
Yes, on the 28th, we're going to have another one of our little Bonspiels on the curling ice, if the ice holds up well enough. And if not, we have enlarged our golf course on the ice because our club is located right on the lake. And so we will be playing golf and just getting people out in the community.
And Matt, Sonny, looking ahead to next winter, are you hopeful that, are you looking forward to getting back inside and putting in a full season?
Well, we definitely are. The members have really lost contact. And I can't wait to get back together to rejoin that. But we will still curl outside. We have already got our date set up, and hopefully the weather will hold, and we'll play outside and inside next year.
Now, I want to wrap up by asking for people around the state with a local curling club thinking, you know, it sounds fun, it looks fun, I like the idea of the community, I don't know the first thing about curling. What would you say to them to encourage them to at least give it a try?
If you're looking for a great way to meet new friends and develop long-lasting relationships, curling is the best way. It's affordable. It's kept small. You compete against only 4 other people at the same time on a different team. And then you have a chance to get together afterwards and just talk and tell stories. So,
and Sonny, if I show up and I'm terrible at it, are you going to judge me?
Oh, absolutely not. In curling, that's what we pride ourselves on, the more new members, and you are not allowed to ridicule or make anybody feel bad about any shots or anything. You have to constantly encourage them to play.
That's a great attitude. Sonny, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
That was Sonny Vilwalk of the Partyville Curling Club. Earlier in our tour of curling around Wisconsin, we talked to Matt Arrow of the Madison and Arlington Curling Clubs and Chuck Miller of the Wausau Curling Club, talking about why curling is such a big deal in Wisconsin and how a lot of clubs were able to take the sport outdoors during the pandemic. This conversation came from an audience question as part of the Why Wisconsin Project. Submit your question. Might answer it in a future story. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin. That's like W-H-Y, Wisconsin. Coming up, a meteorologist joins the show with a look at our extended cold snap here in the state and lots of bad winter weather hitting unexpected places this week all over the country. Right now, it is day one of the winter member drive here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Keely Boltina joins me now. At WPR, listener contributions are the largest source of funding. Your gift keeps the programs that you value, including this one, on the air. Make your contribution right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I love this part. Hey, Rob, ask me if I have good news.
I like good news. Do you have good news?
Rob, I have good news. It's very exciting.
It?
We have met and even exceeded our goal for the hour.
Yay!
Incredible. Thank you so much for all of the people who have joined in during Central Time and said, this is important to me. I'm going to donate now. That is just incredible. And we thank you so much. It is time to keep the momentum up. We are not done yet. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day.
Yeah, that's great that we've hit our goal already, and it's great to get off to a big start on our first day of the membership drive. Sometimes things slow down a little midway through, so the better we do on day one, the better off we're going to be, and you can help us do that. WPR programs are listener-powered, and that means that your gift right now really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So we have to talk about this last segment because we learned so much about curling, not necessarily the nuts and bolts of it, but how Wisconsinites are figuring out how to continue curling. And I had to write this down. We will still curl outside. We will curl outside or inside. It feels a little Dr. Seuss, like there was so much conviction in our guests' voices. And also, to answer a question from someone who was listening, I mean, Central Time is a service, whether that question is about curling or healthcare or politics. I mean, these are the kinds of conversations you can count on from Central Time.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible and the new projects. I mean, Central Time was a new thing not that long ago, it seems like. Wisconsin Life marking its 10-year anniversary, the new Wisconsin project. Lots of great stuff, new stuff all the time on the WPR.org website. All of that happened thanks to listeners like you who gave. How about you? Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
You can make that gift at 888-202-2552 or go online or from your smartphone, your computer, whatever, to WPR.org. It's really simple that way. I just got so excited, Rob, because it is $10 Tuesday. Ask for your WPR t-shirt when you give $10 a month or more. This is special today. Your Wisconsin pride is on full display with this heather gray t-shirt. It's got state symbols in the night sky. You can ask for yours with a gift of $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Take advantage of this on the first day of our drive. Tomorrow, it goes up to $12 a month.
My name is Silke Schmidt. I am originally from Germany, and we've lived in Madison since January 2012. For me, radio is really a way to get information. In general, I just really enjoy the variety. I feel like, especially if you're a newcomer to Wisconsin, listening to WPR is just a really good way to be introduced to the state.
Make your contribution today, because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click Donate.
Make that gift right now. Rob Ferret here with Keely Boltina. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. That's why your support right now during this winter member drive is such a big deal. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount to give.
Maybe you've been listening to WPR without giving because you didn't know that we're listener supported. Well, we are. The largest source of funding for WPR programs comes from listeners.
Maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard. Well, you're still listening, so now's the perfect time to support the programming you've come to rely on. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount you choose does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Everyone should make a gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for cable or a family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it, like other things that you count on, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is the time to give when you are listening to Central Time. Help us keep up the momentum as we go into this member drive. Show your support for WPR. You make Wisconsin Public Radio possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today only, get the new WPR t-shirt for $10 a month. Goes up to $12 a month. Gift tomorrow, but make that gift right now, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552. Eight gifts over our goal. That is fantastic. Let's keep that going, counting up instead of down, up from our goal instead of down to our goal. Love to be in that position. How about you? Join the party. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And listen, if you're going to join the party, you might as well stay all night. If you are not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up. You make ongoing monthly donations from a bank account or a credit card. You can set it up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And that provides reliable support for these programs that you love.
We heard from Charlene in Mondovi. Charlene says, I depend on WPR for news and laughter and wanted to add to my sustaining amount. And I can afford to do that right now. Thank you, Charlene. Stacy in Madison says, I depend on WPR daily for news, podcasts, everything. Well, thank you both so much. How about you? Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, now is the time, while you're thinking about it, while it's on your mind during Central Time, give us a call at 888-202-2552 or donate at WPR.org. Thank you.